Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm excited for the word tonight. You know, I spent some time with my Heavenly Father this afternoon and just being blessed. Amen. You know, and every time I sit there and I purpose to get before Him and to be blessed by God, hallelujah, I always sit there and think, why don't I do this more often? Why don't I do this even when those times, you know, through the rest of the week? I'm not saying I don't, but, you know, just more often. I just desire more of God, and it's such a good place to be. It's such a blessed place to be, amen? God, endeavors that we know, amen, that we get filled, that we have joy and peace. And, you know, in His presence is where the peace is at. You know, if we're suffering from a lack of peace, or if we're suffering from some trials, or a lot of times it's because we're not in the presence of God. How many know that in the presence of God there can be no trial? Yeah, right. There can be trial, but it ain't going to affect you is what I'm saying. Amen? You know, in the presence of God, the Bible says, is the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but when I've been being beat up on, I haven't ever felt full of joy. But you know something? The Bible says that we can have joy in the midst of trial. Amen? And I'm excited for it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's message is called Continuing in That Faith. Amen. Well, last week we were talking about building faith through vision. And as you may or may not remember, I only got partway through it. Actually, I got partway through writing tonight's message, and I realized, wait a minute, I preached a message last week that I said I was going to finish. Amen. And I believe that this is a continuation of that. You know, the Holy Spirit's good. He didn't forget. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, there's things, it's going a little bit different route than what I had planned, but that's okay. We stay open to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because if we're not, then we'll miss something. You know, we can get with our agenda, we can get wrapped up with our agenda, what we want to do, what we want to say, what we want to do, you know, and say whatever, and we can miss what God has for us. Amen. And then we miss what the blessing that comes out of that. But God has a blessing for us tonight. Amen. And like I said, tonight's message is continuing in that faith. What faith are we continuing in? Well, we're continuing in the one that we were building last week. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're continuing the faith that Jesus left us with, the faith that the apostles preached. Praise the Lord. The disciples preached, that they took to the world. Amen. We're continuing in that faith. Amen. And we're gonna see about that tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I wanted to share some things with you as we go. First of all, you know, I wrote this down. This is kind of where this message was birthed out of. But in my desire to not be deceived, and especially by myself, I've stepped out of faith at different times in my life. As a minister, I've stepped out of faith. Now, let me explain that. My desire to not be deceived. One thing that I've learned in my walk in Christianity is that there's many people that get deceived. The Bible, of course, warns us about deception, about being deceived. And I have endeavored to just be somebody who's not deceived. And I said, even by myself. And what do I mean by that? You know, a lot of times, I don't know if it's most times, but it probably is, that we fall into deception. It's by our own doing. It's by our own deception. It's because you want something to be a certain way, so you'll overlook certain truths to make sure that that's a certain way. Amen? But see, sometimes, here's the thing. We can get overly conscious about things. You know, in doing the work of the Lord is an interesting thing. You know, we're supposed to do it by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith. But in doing the work of the Lord, if we're not careful, we can get into a place where we just start getting into kind of a works mentality and just doing things the way we've always done them. And we're not using faith for them anymore. We're not applying faith to our lives. And this is actually a problem. And this is something that nobody is exempt from. As a pastor, I've fallen victim of it time and time again. That doesn't mean that everything I'm doing is out of faith, but it means that in certain areas, amen? And so I have been so hard on myself sometimes about not being deceived that I've allowed myself to step out of faith. Because what I'll do is I'll be like, well, if I'm not absolutely positively sure on something, amen, if I don't know exactly what to do, like if I don't have everything, if I don't have God appearing before me telling me what I got to do, that I'm not going to do that. And how many know that's wrong? See, if you're a person who desires God, if you're a person who the best that you know that you're in the plan of God, that you're going to church, you're reading your word, you're praying, you're doing things, you know, you're doing your best that you can. I'm not saying you're perfect, but you're doing the best that you can. The Bible says that we can trust that leading. I said the Bible says we can trust that leading. And sometimes the leading isn't something major. Sometimes the leading is just a brush. Hallelujah. I love that in the beginning of Luke, Luke tells us that, that it just seemed good. It seemed right that he write another account of the Gospels. And aren't you glad he did? Amen. It just seemed right. He didn't have any special leading to do it. He didn't have an angel appear before him. He didn't have God come down out of heaven and say, Luke, write the book of Luke for all the people coming. Because we need it. No, what he did was he said, just seemed good. It just seemed right that he did it. And that's how he did it. And sometimes we have to know that we can trust the Spirit on the inside of us. And the reason that I bring this up, my wife and I have been recently, we've been doing a lot of YouTube, watching a lot of YouTube videos. Oh man, we've been watching all kinds of things, you know. We've been watching pranks, and we've been watching, you know, American Idol reruns, and we've been, I'm just kidding. That's not all the stuff. Well, you know, we every once in a while we'll filter some of that stuff in, a comedy show or whatever. But what I'm talking about is we've been watching a lot about revivals. Praise the Lord, and about different ministers and different revivals, you know, and it's really, really interesting when you watch this. You start watching these, I'm telling you, you'll start getting a hunger for the things of God, amen? And that's exactly where we're, but we see that there's so many times where people had to step out in faith. Now, this is the thing we need to know about revivals. Not all of them were doctrinally, the people weren't all doctrinally right all the time, amen? How many know that you can miss it? Praise the Lord. We endeavor not to miss it. We don't allow missing it, the fact that we will miss it, be an excuse to miss it. Amen. But we understand that that people can miss it. And so, but the thing is that God visits his people who are hungry. Amen. Now, it goes much better for them when they apply the word. Amen. And so we do strongly, we never get lax on the word. In fact, we see when people get into error or when they get off or when they lose the anointing or anything like that, it's generally because they've gotten away from the word. Amen. But we need to understand that there's a faith that we have to grab onto and not let go of. There's a faith that we have to be zealous about, amen? And that's the faith that God has left us with. The faith that Jesus left us with, the faith that the Bible talks about, we have to be zealous for it. What do I mean by being zealous? It means it's got to be everything to us. We got to just be hungry for it. We want to talk about it. Man, you just can't wait to talk to somebody else so you can tell them about, you know, the things that are going on, hallelujah. You know, this is where stuff is birthed from, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. I wrote this down. Faith is not separate from the word of God, but the word of God is acted upon only through faith. You know, the word of God and faith that work simultaneously. You can't have faith without the word of God. Not true godly faith. You can only have faith through the word of God. But the word of God is acted upon by your faith. You will never step into those things that God has for you. We'll never step into those things as a church that God has for us without faith for those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that faith calls things that be not as though they were. Amen. And so we have to get bold about that. You know, a lot of times we're just using faith just to live. You know, and I see this a lot in Christianity. Any Christians that are taught about faith, it seems like so often we're just using faith to live. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're using faith just to live, you've missed the whole purpose of faith. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, you can use faith for yourself, and you should, amen, but it should be a fleeting thing. And what do I mean by that? It means something you're not focused on. If you're focused on your stuff all the time, you're out of faith. You're out of faith. You're not in faith at all, amen? How do I know that? How can I say it? Because faith isn't sitting there. If you're constantly going back about the same thing over and over, and so much so that you have no time for anything else, you're out of faith. Because you don't trust that it's actually going to come to pass. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting there begging for it. Faith doesn't beg. Praise the Lord. It craves. It desires. It needs. Hallelujah. It needs so badly, so more. Sometimes it almost is desperate for it. But it doesn't beg for it. You know, begging is a sense that, oh, I don't know if it'll happen or not. You know what I'm saying? It's just something you're going to try out. Praise the Lord. But our actions show what we believe of God's word. Amen? And how we live shows what we believe of God's word. You know, there's sometimes when I look at my life and I think something in it and I think, am I really living in faith in this area or that area? And I'll tell you, honestly, that there's a lot of times where the answer is no. I'm not in faith on this or that. I, you know, if I'm, You know, it's easy to start questioning things. As a pastor, you know, you will question, a pastor will question every single word that they say, every message that they preach. If you ask my wife, she knows exactly how it is. She's seen it in me, and she's gone through it herself. You just, as a pastor, you just always question. But you know something? That can be a lack of faith. Because you got to trust that if God's put you there, that he's put things in you to get out to the people, and that it's right and that they're going to get it. Amen. And you have to be good with that. Well, the same thing is with the rest of our lives. You know, if we're doing so, we have to trust that if we sit in church and we hear the word, that things are going to be all right. Praise the Lord. And if we're trusting that things are going to be all right, then we're not sitting there constantly worried about them not being okay. We got to just trust that it's going to work out. I said, we got to take a certain boldness about it. We have to have a certain air about us that is unwilling to go without what God has, saying, you know what? No, this is mine. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I told the devil even today, I said, I'm not doing this again, devil. Well, praise the Lord. I just not. Whatever I was talking about, it doesn't even matter what it is. But I just, whatever's dogging you, I ain't doing it, devil. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to not believe the word. I'm not going to sit here pretending to be a Christian. I'm not going to sit here, you know, going through the word, reading the word and praying and going to church and doing all these things and then not actually have anything because I'm never using faith. We want to use faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to continue in that faith that we built. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn with me to Romans 1:16? Praise the Lord. You know, I listened to, I only listened to about the last 10 minutes of last week's sermon this afternoon. But it's funny because I was listening to it and I was blessed by it. Man, I wasn't necessarily blessed when I got out of the pulpit, but I'll tell you, I was blessed by it. Because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, because I recognize, of course, I know me. I know how I prepare. I know what message I bring. And then I know what the Lord puts in me as I'm there. Amen. I know the added stuff that God helps me with, that the Spirit helps me with as I'm preaching. And man, I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm thinking, yep, that was God. That was God. That was God. See, God shows up. He does things. He takes care of what he wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you sit there focused about what you think that you've missed so much, you'll never move on into the things that God has for you. That's just the truth, amen. Romans 1:16, praise the Lord. We'll read verses 16 and 17, glory to God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Not for everybody, for everyone who believes. Praise the Lord. It is no power. There is no power in this book. This book is no more powerful than any other book. If you don't believe it, you can have this book sitting on your shelf. You know, some religions, we talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, some religions, they get more into superstition and stuff like that. They almost think that there's, you know, the power isn't in this article, this thing, this material possession. It's not there. It's in when the faith that is taught to us through it is mixed with the word that is written. Those are the things, that's what will change lives. But there's no power in this, amen? You know, there's books, there's Bibles that sit in shelves all over the place. You don't see any power coming out of them. That's because it's not in the actual pages of the book. You know, some people want trinkets. They want they want crosses to write. You know, there's people that they've got on the family churches because not every family church necessarily has a cross in it. Well, who cares? Is that what your religion is? Is a cross? There's people whose religion is a cross. My religion is not a cross. My religion is not two sticks, one put sideways on the other one, or two sticks nailed perpendicular to each other. Is that right? Perpendicular? Yeah. That's not what my faith is based on. My faith is based on what happened on the cross. My faith is based on the one who went to the cross, but it certainly isn't built on the cross itself. You know, there's so many people that get hung up over a stinking cross. I'm just telling you about stupid things that don't even material things that don't matter. The church building's got to be you got to have church on Sunday. They'll get hung up on stuff like that. You don't got to have, like, you can have church every day of the week. It doesn't matter. What happens when, if you got to go out and start 15 churches, what happens you going to do then? You're going to have every one of them on Sunday morning? Well, you just can't necessarily do that, can you? Praise the Lord. But, you know, that's the thing. People's, their religion isn't based in God. It's based in these things. And it's like, you see people with like rosary beads and rubbing their lucky rosary beads and gemstones, and they have their bobblehead saints on their cars, you know, because they got to, you know, you got to have that there for protection. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What do you need some plastic trinket for? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these things, you go to the stores. You can. There's a big Christian store up in Erie that sells supplies for Christian people, amen, Christian churches and stuff. And I was buying something there. I can't remember what it was, wafers or something. You know, I was buying there when I was up there one day. And, you know, they had everything in there. Man, they had everything you can make. It was all probably made in China. You know what I'm saying? They had rosary beads made in China. If you're this flavor Christian, you can buy this in this section. If you're this flavor Christian, well, you can buy this in this. No, that stuff matters. Where did God ever say to worship the stuff or to hold on to the, cling to the stuff? No, I have a belief, amen, that there's a reason that we don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore, that it isn't out there for everybody, because people make it a worship thing. You know, that we don't have the original temple, that we don't have the, you know, if somebody had the cup that Jesus drank out of the night that he was betrayed, praise the Lord, if they had that cup on display, don't you know that people would worship that thing? They would. That's exactly what they would do. We went to a big Catholic church down in Pittsburgh, not for service, but because they have like we went on a tour of it, and they have what they call the biggest collection of relics in the United States, I think it was. They have just thousands and thousands and thousands of relics, legitimate relics. These are, when I say legitimate relics, I mean these are relics that the Vatican has put their rubber stamp of approval on. Amen. So you know it's got to be good, right? Because the Vatican said it was so, so it's got to be so. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, some people, the Vatican's more important than Jesus is. I'm not saying that they're bad people or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there ain't nobody on earth that trumps Jesus in my book. I don't know about you. I just, forgive me if I get a little bold here tonight, but I'm just going to flow with, you know, what God has for us. But praise the Lord. But they, you know, the Vatican has put the rubber stamp of approval on. You know what relics are? Relics are either a piece of somebody, amen, or a whole somebody generally. You know, that's what they consider a religious relic is, you know, like they have most of them are bones. Yeah, they have toenails. They have hair. I mean, they have whole bodies in there. Yeah, they're like, this is not uncommon. You need to understand that. Praise the Lord. They think we're weird, praise the Lord, because we talk in tongues. But you got dead bodies in jars all over the place, praise the Lord, and worshiping. I'm just telling you. I don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. But at any rate, they got these relics in there, and it was neat to see them. They're all in neat, like, you know, very impressive gold ornate things, and they got them all over the walls and stuff. And you know, they got a piece of the cross, they say, and they got a thorn from the crown of thorns, and you know what I mean. And they got they got all kinds of things in there, and it's really important. How'd I get on all this? Yeah, worshiping the object. Well, people worship those objects. They, you know, people go there and they're in awe of these things, like as these things matter. These things don't matter. These things don't, I'm not saying that it's not neat. See, I'm a curiosity seeker. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you told me, you know what I mean? I don't know if you remember that movie. It probably was a bad movie. I just remember part of it. But what was that movie where the kids went on the trip to see the dead body? Stand By Me. It was probably a bad movie. My wife said, yeah, it was so long ago that I saw it. I don't even remember, but I would be that kid is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Somebody told me there was a dead body over there. I'd go look because I just want to see what it, you know what I mean? Well, praise the Lord. I mean, we went looking for a deer carcass once that my cousin hit with a car just because we had to see what it looked like after 8 days in the sun. Praise the Lord. But, I know that's gross, but that's what, you know, I like curiosities. Amen. You know what I mean? I always say this about Bigfoot. I don't really believe that Bigfoot exists, but I wouldn't be surprised if they found him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm a curiosity seeker, so I love stuff like that. So we'll go, you know, when we're on a trip, we'll go look at someone's grave or something like that. And it's interesting to me. It's neat, amen, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like graveyards. I love graveyards. I love going into graveyards, seeing gravestones. I love thinking about the lives that were there and all the stuff. But you know that there's those people that are there, they're not there. You know, it has nothing to do with them anymore. Praise the Lord. And that's why, you know, glory to God. I can get too personal there if I keep going, but you understand. But, these things don't matter. What matters is the Word of God. What matters is the truth of God. What matters is God. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Praise the Lord. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek, for the Greek. Praise God. And verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what they adorned on their walls. The just shall live by the priest's robe. The just shall live by the relics that they have, they hold so dear. The just shall live by the cross that they rub until it's broken in two. Praise the Lord. No, the just shall live by faith. By faith. The just will live by faith. They don't live by all this stuff. The problem with this stuff, and I don't have a problem with, you know, we decorate the church nice, but you know, nothing in here is worth anything more than what it's worth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you know, I'm a curiosity seeker, you know. I like things when, you know, if you have, you know, I mean, if somebody were to give me a hanky that Elvis wiped his forehead with, I'd think that's pretty cool, amen? But it really isn't anything, you know what I mean? If it burned up in a fire, I'd be like, okay, well, whatever. You know what I mean? It's just, it's gone. You know what I'm saying? So, I like collecting stuff, praise the Lord, all those things. But we have to understand that they don't mean anything. Amen? Because the just live by their faith. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have to get this so in us. You know, there's people that don't like faith teaching churches. They don't like, oh, the church teaches about faith. Well, that's what pleases God. Yeah. The just are supposed to live by faith. So how many know we're supposed to know what faith is? We're supposed to have an inkling of what faith is. We're supposed to live by it. Praise the Lord. Not by our own things. I love this. In Romans 1:17 in the Amplified, it says, For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. So this gospel was written from faith, but it also leads us to faith. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. Yeah. You know what's interesting about faith? It creates more faith. Yeah. If it's not creating more faith, then it's not faith. Faith always takes you higher. This is why we say that you won't stay where you are if you're truly in faith. Why? Because it always takes you somewhere else. Faith always goes to something, believes for more. It draws unto itself. Amen. Praise the Lord. As it is written, listen to this, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Praise the Lord. The man who through faith is just and upright shall live and live by faith. Praise the Lord. Everything that we are going to receive, everything in the kingdom of God that is ours to take is obtained through faith. It's obtained through faith. People are wondering all the time, why does this Christian do this and this Christian do this? That Christian's blessed and this one doesn't seem to be. Because one used faith and one did not. Amen. It is an undeniable thing. People don't necessarily like this. There are pastors that would cringe at me saying these things. And I'll tell you why. Because it puts responsibility on the individual for their own actions, for their own things, for their own faith. Praise the Lord. But how many know when you stand before Jesus, you aren't going to stand there with your church congregation? We all know the Bible says that he's going to judge each one of us individually. We are not going to stand there with our brothers or sisters. I love my wife. My wife and I have a great relationship. We do everything together that we can. Praise the Lord. We have a good life. Praise the Lord. But how many know at judgment, her and I will be standing before Jesus separately. I won't be able to say, Renee did this or help me here. And she won't be able to say, well, Jeff did this and help me here. No, we stand before God individually. Praise the Lord. That being said, we have to understand that our faith is individual. Our faith is not based on what someone else does. Now, sometimes if you're in a married relationship and if it's out of balance, there can be things in the home that are hindered because of one's lack of faith or one's greater, you know, stuff like that. There can be a little bit of imbalance, and the goal is to get in balance with each other with faith. I'm not saying that, through and through, God wants us to obtain things this way. This is how he endeavored for us to do it. And the thing is the Bible is chocked full of this teaching. Yeah. This isn't something new. Right. The Israelites, we are told, and we are told that they are an example to us. Yeah. That this specific event was an example for us. Yeah. We're told this in Scripture. Yeah. And then we're told what they did. They were called to the promised land, and they were going to the promised land. God led them out of Egypt. He gave them all this stuff. He gave them all this reason to believe and trust in God. And they did not go into the promised land for what reason? They did unbelief. They didn't use faith. So here, and we're told that that's written for us to understand for our own lives. If they don't get in by faith, or without faith, guess what we don't do? Get in without faith. We can't do it. We can't go against God's teaching. And so this is where so many people, they get tripped up. That doesn't mean that everything everybody has is because they got it by faith. There are some people who are naturally wealthy. Maybe they were born into it or something like that. They don't have any more favor of God on their life than you and I do. Praise the Lord. Just because somebody has something does not mean that they use faith to obtain it. But this is what I do know, is that faith will get us everything that we need. Why? Because faith calls those things that be not as though they were. When God spoke to the earth, when he created everything, he spoke to it in faith. He used faith, and therefore it existed. And the Bible teaches us that that's the same kind of faith that we're supposed to have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hebrews, why don't you turn with me to Hebrews 10:35. Praise God. Hallelujah. How does the time go so quickly? It just starts flying by. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's not closing time yet, but I'm just it's going faster than I care for it to go. Amen. Hebrews 10:35. Praise the Lord. We're going to read through chapter 11, verse 2. Hallelujah. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Confidence. Don't cast it away. Don't let your confidence be thrown away because your confidence is where the reward is attached to. What's confidence? That's faith. Yeah. Your confidence that, yes, these things will come to pass because God said they will. Yeah. That's faith. That's right. That's what faith is. Don't cast away your faith. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Yeah. See, as Christians, sometimes we'll be moved. We're so easily moved by the things that just when the wind blows just a little bit. I've seen Christians, I've always loved watching this. When Christians, when they first come in, man, just a little wind. That wouldn't even bother a Christian who's established, but just a little wind blows. And they're like, oh, it's all over. It's all over. It's all falling apart. What are they doing? They're casting away their confidence. Amen? The Bible tells us here that our confidence has great reward. What is that? Our faith has great reward. It means that on the other side, well, what's a great reward? Well, what do you have in faith for? What's your confidence in? You know what I mean? If I'm using my faith, I'm just going to use an example, but if I'm using my faith for a new truck, praise the Lord, God doesn't send me a horse and buggy. You know what I mean? Say, well, here you go. Here's the end of your... That's not a great reward. A great reward was that whatever I'm using my faith for, that's the thing that appears. That's the thing that comes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have to have faith, specific faith for things. We have to use specific faith for things. That's why we say, believe for the building to be paid off. Why? Because it takes faith to do that. Amen. Why? Is there anybody in here that can pay off the building today? No. Raise your hand if you can. Praise the Lord. No, there's nobody in here that can pay off the building today. So what do we need to pay it off? We need people releasing faith for it. Say, Lord, use me, but I'll use faith for it, Praise God, hallelujah. Now, this year, I had a leadership meeting in our Mayville church, and I got my leaders together. Not the whole congregation, but just the leader. And I brought the leaders together. And one of the things that I believe that I was directed of the Lord to say to them was this. I said, I expect as my leaders of the church that you sow into every single thing, every offering that we have. Now, well, why did I say that? Was I put in bondage? I couldn't say that to the whole congregation. Why? Because if I said that to the whole congregation, people would leave because they'd get bent out of shape. They'd get upset because I said that. But you have to understand the context in which I was saying. And I went on to tell them, I said, I don't care if you use a quarter, a penny, and you put it in faith and you say, Lord, I'm believing you for more. Why? It's because the ones who care the most, they're the ones that are going to get the work done. They're going to think the ones you say, well, maybe, how could I get in on that? Well, just do it. You could become a leader just by doing that, just by saying, you know what? I care enough that I'm going to start releasing faith. I put in one penny towards it, and I say, Lord, increase me to increase the church. You start believing God that way, and you watch how money will come to you. And there'll be enough left over for you. That's what the Bible says to do. Amen. So many people, they're like, how do I get out of this trial, that trial? Well, the Bible tells us if you want harvest, you got to sow. And so if you went out of a trial, you got to sow yourself out. You know how many times we've sowed out of trial? You know how many times our church has sowed out of trial? I'm just telling you the truth. We sowed. Praise the Lord. Just last year, I was directed to go to a minister and by the Lord. And I said, our church is going to sow. Actually, it was a large sum. But I was like, we're going to sow this much money because we're believing God for this, this, and this. Amen. So we're sowing into this area. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, the churches do the word as well. Amen. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Yeah. Amen. Wow. You have need of endurance. We need to endure, Christians. We need to be okay. Sometimes, you know what? We have to put up with a little endurance. Amen. To get to the other side, you have to do that. It's right and good that we do that. Amen. It doesn't hurt God's. It doesn't hurt God at all. It doesn't hurt His heart at all that you learn endurance and patience. Amen. And if the trial is going to produce endurance and patience in you, which James 1 tells us it will. Amen. God doesn't mind if you go through a little bit of trial. He's like, well, I don't know about all that. Well, that's what the Word says. See, a lot of people think that God puts a trial on you and that you may or may not make it. But God puts a trial on you, gives you a way, or God allows you to go through a trial. The truth says that God allows you to go through a trial, and then He gives you a way to increase through it. Amen? So when you come out on there, so if you're going on a trial, the Bible says count it all joy. We say, how can I count it all joy? Well, if you know the end from the beginning, then you're going to count it joy. Because you know if it's producing something good in you, what does the Bible say here? It says that you may receive the promise. What's the promise? Well, I don't know. What's the promise to you if you sought God? Have you been before God saying, Lord, what's the promise? Teach me. Show me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see this again. The just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's exactly what I was doing. I was thinking I was going on with God, and I was just like, well, I want to make sure, so I'm just gonna pull back a little bit. Just no, you don't pull back at all. When you're after God, you go after God, and you don't stop running until you hit something. I said, you don't stop running until you hit something. Praise the Lord. You just keep going and keep going and keep going until you get through to the other side. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what we're called to do. Amen. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. So we believe it all the way through. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Praise the Lord. I love that. Now faith is. Faith is right now. Praise the Lord. Faith says right now. Now it is. We're not waiting for it. We're just going to walk in it. Amen. Now faith is a substance. How do I know how to use faith? What do you need? What are you facing? What are you up against? Well, now faith is. Yep. Right now. What are you facing right now? Now faith is. That's what you need faith for. That's what you got to start using faith for. Yeah. Amen. You ain't got to worry about, you don't got to worry about later. Right. Jesus said, don't worry about later. He said, worry about right now. Yep. I said, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. He said, sufficient for you is today's troubles. Yeah. Now faith is what he's saying. Have faith for today where you're at. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. As you build that, you'll be able to go on into other things. Amen. It's the substance of things hoped for. And that word hoped, we understand that word hoped, if you study out, means expected. So it's the substance of things that are expected. What do you expect of God? Do you expect not much from God? If you expect not much from God, then that's exactly what you're going to have from God. Yeah. There's so many people that they pray to God, but they don't expect he'll actually do it. Guess what? There's no hope. There's no faith. They won't get it. That's why Christians who pray without faith don't receive what God has for them. You see, and praying with faith isn't hard. We just go to the Bible. What are the promises that God has given us? And we stand on them. We start standing on them. We say, this is the truth. This is my truth. Praise the Lord. This is what, when I say my truth, I don't mean my truth. Like, you know, this is the truth of what I'm going through. The truth that I need is what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, the world will say, this is my truth. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So it's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that's not seen. It isn't faith when you see it. If you have the answer today, you have no faith for it. Why? Because it's before you. You don't need faith to imagine that I'm going to be here tonight. You don't need any faith for that. You may have worried about it. You know, I don't know if Pastor Jeff's going to show up. I don't know if he's going to get there. Come in. Okay, he's here. Praise the Lord. You see, that's the way most people live in their lives. Not about me, but they live about that with anything. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. And if it shows up, we just got here. That wasn't faith. That wasn't expectation at all. You know what I mean? We have to stop praying that way. We need to stop being that way. It will. Because what God has called me, if you're somebody, listen, it's very simple. If you're somebody who's after God, if you're somebody who's hungry for God, if you're somebody who wants more of God, and you do what you know to do, God will get it to you. I said he will get it to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? Faith. By faith they obtained a good testimony. So wait a minute. Why would it be telling us this? Why would God be telling us this here? That the elders obtained the good testimony through faith if we don't live by faith? If we don't obtain through faith? The Bible says that they obtained a good testimony through faith. They didn't obtain the bad testimony. We're told that the bad testimony was obtained through a lack of faith. The good testimony was obtained through faith. Praise the Lord. What are we making a connection here? Listen, we will only obtain what we can obtain through faith. And if we don't learn to use our faith, to grow our faith, praise the Lord. I love that. Is it Romans 10:17? It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. We can't build faith if we're not hearing the word. Of course, now you know I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here. Praise the Lord. But we have to convince other people too. We have to convince. But listen, we have to convince them with the Bible says in Jude about warning some as if pulling them out of the fire. Sometimes we just have to be bold with people and say, listen, like the way you're going is dangerous. You need God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There needs to be a little bit more of that in Christianity. There needs to be a little bit more of people that are bold with the devil, bold with people that are not afraid. They're not going to sit around just like, listen, Christianity is not about sitting around rubbing everybody's back saying, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, honey. I'm there for you. I'm sorry, honey. Listen, I'm not saying we don't have compassion. Of course we have compassion. But just this week, I was working in the church here, and I decided to put on some Christian Pandora music, Pandora, the streaming, and they just stream what they stream. You know, and I love Pandora, because one of the things it does is it gives you the ability to like or dislike something, a song, and if you dislike it, they won't play it again. And that's really nice, because if I dislike something, I want to hear it again. You know what I mean? But man, you know, the thing is the unpaid, the free version, you only get so many dislikes. You know what I mean? Now, I'm listening to a Christian radio station, modern Christian radio station, and if I was going to continue listening to it, I was going to have to listen to what they played, because I couldn't dislike anymore. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. A lot of modern Christian music is full of doubt and unbelief. Everybody's talking about how bad it is and the trial and this and that. Yes, God will, blah, 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 but it's always this bad thing happens. And this, and God, I'm so weak, I'm so poor, I'm so this, I'm so that, and I know that you'll help me, I know that you're there, but if you just blah, 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 it's a bunch of whiny garbage. I'm tired of hearing Christians whine constantly about this stuff. Like, listen, the Bible is written to give us faith, and faith is given to us so we can prevail, so we can be victorious on the other side. And yet here we are as Christians, we're sitting around whining to each other all the time about how bad everything is. How about talking about how good and powerful our God is? The God who has faith, the one who will lead us through, the one who always says, the one that says the boat won't sink if you believe you go to the other side. The one that says you will go into the promised land if you say that you'll go into the promised land. The one that says that you will have what you say. Praise the Lord. How about believing in that God? How about singing some songs about that? Instead of singing about how the mountain won't move or how Jesus won't move it, how about let's start singing about how Jesus told us that we're supposed to speak to the mountain and move it. Praise the Lord. And if it doesn't move instantly, then we stay at it. We stay at it with faith, and we just stay bold about it. We need to be Christians who are bold, because this world has had enough of Christians who are lilies. The Christians are weak. Christians who can't do anything. Listen, if we, praise the Lord, churches, I'm telling you right now, we are on the verge of having churches starting to build those, what are those, safe rooms? Praise the Lord. We're on the verge of that garbage right now. Why? Because that's what a lot of churches are. They're safe rooms where everybody goes in and, you know, if you feel offended, if you feel hurt, well, praise the Lord. Well, God, glory to God, that's not God's plan at all. Amen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. How did they obtain a good testimony? Because God had favor on them. No, because of their faith. Their faith is how they attained a good testimony. They walked in what God had for them through a good testimony through their faith. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. By faith we understand. Well, I wasn't supposed to keep going, I don't think. No, I was going to stop there. Praise the Lord. Well, what the heck, I'll read it anyways. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, nothing existed, nothing was there, and it was all made by the word of God, praise the Lord. You want a real interesting study? Study that word framed out, praise the Lord, and then come talk to me about it. We'll have a good conversation. Praise the Lord. There's some interesting things there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then it goes on. I mean, Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter. It tells us this person obtained their testimony through faith, and this person got this by faith, and this person got this by faith. What did they get by faith? Everything that was got in Scripture was got by faith. So why are we telling people? Why are there churches that are telling people that your faith can't do it? Why aren't we teaching people faith? Amen. This is what we need. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, here, I'm gonna present to you a confusing conundrum for Christians, okay? This is something that a lot of people don't get. I'm going to share two scriptures with you. I'm just going to read them to you. I don't want you to turn into them because I'm going to read them kind of quickly. Okay. You got Hebrews 4:10. This is the stuff that is argued in Christianity today. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:10 says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his." So a lot of people is like, well, these are the people that take this kind of stuff and run with it, and they say, see, there's no works in Christianity now, because we've ceased from works, right? And then there's Ephesians 2:10, which we love to preach, that says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay, God, which is it? Are we to cease from works? Or are we to be prepared for works? What is it? And this is where Christians, this is a conundrum in the world of Christianity, because people are arguing this. Some people are saying, well, you don't have to do anything to live in salvation. And some people are saying you have to do things to live in salvation. People take it to extremes on both sides. Here's what the truth is. Hebrews 4:10 says he has ceased from his works, lowercase his. Yeah. They've ceased from their works, their plans, their things. Yeah. Those who are after God, praise the Lord, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. Not God's works, his own works. Yeah. We see in Ephesians that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yeah. If we're not producing, then we're worthless to God. The kingdom of God, you understand what I'm saying? God always, of course, he always loves us even when we were worthless. You understand what I'm saying? But I mean, as Christians, if we're not producing works, if we're not producing something, it's no good to God. It's not doing his kingdom anything. In other words, Christians that sit around and talk about how bad things are, and Christians who are always just one trial to the next, just trying to make it. Listen, if you're trying to make it, you're out of faith. God said you already made it. You don't try to make it. What does that mean? When it looks like you're not going to make it, you just look at it and say, I'm sorry that you feel this way, trial, but you can't make me not make it because God already said I did make it. Praise the Lord. God already said I did make it. He already said I'm there. So stop worrying about the trial. You already got a way through it. Why? Because Jesus already, he already did it. It's all done. I don't think you understood what I said. It's all done. It's, you can't make it any better because it's already been done. He already made it better. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You say, well, I'm still going through it. It doesn't matter. The end result is the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. The end result is always the same. We are created forwards. God wants us to do things. He wants us to use our faith. Listen, it is a wonderful thing that a pastor, if a pastor will, puts faith projects in front of people. Why? Because faith projects are your opportunity to stop worrying about your own garbage and start focusing on something bigger than you. And what is that? That is the ultimate in faith. When we have a project, when we have the little kiosk thing out there, that's a faith project for everybody in the church to say, you know what? Lord, help me fill that. Yeah. You don't understand. If you have the ability to come in and fill the offering bucket, so to speak, if you have the ability to do that, that means that you also have everything you need. Yeah. Because the Bible says that you're given with enough left over to give into every good work. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You don't understand. Like that's, but it takes faith. Christians watch offering buckets go by all the time and they're just like, well, I couldn't give into that one. I couldn't give into that one. I couldn't give into that one. Oh, yes, you could have. You start with faith. Where is the faith? Faith is like in the least that you have. I mean, praise the Lord. I've known of people that literally had nothing. And so one person ripped a button off their suit and put it in. And God blessed them. God moved on them. Why? Because they used faith for it. Now listen, we don't want to fill the bucket with buttons. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Keep your buttons on your suit. Glory to God. But you understand that there is a way that faith works. And every time we have opportunity, that's exactly what it is. It's opportunity for us to increase. Listen, it's not just in the church. It's with people. You see some people who need something and you got it. You can help them out. You can say, hey, listen, this is opportunity for me to give. And you release faith when you give. Don't just give it. You release faith. Say, Lord, I thank you that it produces harvest. I thank you that this thing I sowed into here comes back to me. Praise the Lord. See, when we have faith projects all the time, God has given us the local church to come together and to know, just as the devil gives us things to know what we have to believe for. Remember I said that? Thank you, devil. Was it last week? Thank you, devil, for showing me what I need to use faith on. Thank you, devil, for showing me plainly what you were attacking. Thanks. So now I know now I know where the victory has got to be. Praise the Lord. It's a lot worse. If you ever notice that, it's kind of like when you're standing in line at an amusement park. You know what I mean? You're standing in line, and there's that big roller coaster there, and you're getting up to it, and you're like, whoa, this is big. And you get closer, you're like, this is big. And it's like, you don't know what to expect. You've never been on it before, you know. As I've gotten older, I've gotten a little wussier when it comes to roller coasters and things. And so when we were going down to Disney, when you were with my mom and the rest of the family, there was a ride I knew that we were going to ride. And so you know what I did? Thank God for YouTube. I got on YouTube and I rode the ride in my living room before I ever rode it in the flesh. So I knew exactly what to expect. I knew all the turns and stuff like that. The only thing that's bad about that is when it goes into the dark, you're like, whoa, what's happening? Because you don't know, you know, until when you get to there, you gotta find out. But here's my point to this, is that you're standing there and you're anticipating, and then you get on it, and you might even be nervous. And this is something I've gone through many times. You might even be nervous when you get on the ride, but when you get on the ride, and you're getting up, you're going up the hill, the anticipation's building, it's building, you're like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, and then you go over that top, and as soon as you're over the top, you're like, yeah, this is awesome, this is the best thing ever, and you're screaming all the way through, you know what I'm talking about that. I go through this every single ride I ever go on. This is why people love roller coasters. Amen. This is what life is. This is what life is. The devil will throw something at you and the anticipation's over. That's like going over the hill. It's like, all right, let's ride this ride of faith and go through to the other side because he's throwing it at me. Now I know what to expect. Praise the Lord. It was the YouTube video on what's coming. You understand what I'm saying? Like he throws something at you. He's just like, well, okay, now I'm not, you know, because a lot of times you're like, well, you know, you walk around. I don't know if they're here or not, you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I got so many examples I could use, but they're all flesh. You'll think I'm just nothing but carnal. Praise the Lord. So we see that God has, he has things for us to do. He has faith, but we have to obtain them by faith. We have to believe God. Listen, if our life is a little bit stale, Lord, like, give me something to do here. What do we got going on, God? What can I do? This is using faith. What can I do more? You know what I'm saying? Like, if life is a little bit stale, a little bit boring or something, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not talking about you're already doing a lot and you're just like an overworker and you need something else to do just to put your mind at rest. No, sometimes we do have to rest. You know what I'm saying? But my point is that we have opportunity to use faith all the time. Let's use it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're getting close here. Hallelujah. But I'm doing good because I watched the time when we started today. Galatians 2:16. Praise God, hallelujah. Galatians 2:16. We'll read through verse 20. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2:16. What's it say here? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You're not justified by what you do. You're only justified by your faith. Yeah. But listen, if you have true faith in Jesus Christ, it will lead to works. Yeah. But you're not justified by those works. Yeah. You're only justified by the faith. But the faith will lead you to works. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Right. You're not justified by the works. You can't sow, you can't give enough into an offering plate to make a difference in God's opinion of you in the sense of, like, you know, of your justification. Right. You couldn't go to church enough. You couldn't serve enough at church to be justified before God. But all these things you should do after you've been justified by Christ. Amen? Our faith has to be in Jesus. That's what our faith has to be in. I'll tell you, as a person who's learned to love to serve in the local church, I still serve in the local church, not just my church. I serve in my pastor's church. I serve my pastor. I serve my pastor's pastor, praise the Lord. I love to serve. It's a joy to me. It's something I love to do. As somebody who loves to do that, I'll tell you something that can also come at you. You think, well, that's great. That's kind of like what I want to do. I want to be one of those people that serve. I'm just going to tell you something right now. If you're not careful, you can start serving, and that can be your thing. That can become your religion. That can become your faith. Yeah. And that's not God. Right. Serving is not what justifies you. Yeah. It's not what gives you brownie points. Yeah. You know, I found this recently. God's corrected some thinking in me about some other things. These things I did in faith for so long. Now that I started doing that, I did them in faith, and it got just kind of easy to do them. And I started just doing them. I could do works. That's not faith. Faith is what I believe of Jesus Christ. Faith is trusting God. Amen. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, you can fall into sin. It doesn't mean that God is becoming the minister of sin because Christ is in you. It means that you're making yourself a transgressor, right? For I know the law, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So look at that. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's in his leading. That's in his teaching. That's in, you know, the Bible, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he comes, the next part will come, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you in these things. Amen? Why is he doing that? That's living according to faith. Being able to do those things that you're led to do, doing them by faith. When you have something on your heart, you know this is God, then you do it. You just do it. That's what you do. You step out. Maybe it's, and you could have the works of the flesh the whole time. You could be nervous to talk to that person, but that doesn't mean you don't step out. You step out in faith. You know what I'm saying? You step out in faith in these things, and then the anointing, God will meet you there, and he'll help you do those things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God wants us, he wants us we have to live in that place of understanding that God will be there with us. He'll meet us there. You know, one thing I found, and this is something God corrected me on as well, is that I was always looking for opportunity. Lord, give me opportunity to witness this person. Give me opportunity to witness. Give me opportunity to witness. And then all of a sudden, I'd be there in front of the person, then all of a sudden the time would pass, and then I was like, man, God didn't give me an opportunity. It's like he gave you opportunity all the time. He put the word on the inside of me. He's sown the things in me. He's given me the anointing to do it. Just because I was nervous or didn't know what to say, what do? You just start speaking out. You just start doing. You know, every message I preach is stepping out in faith. Because I can't come up with this stuff on my own. Any of the words that I put in there, I'm just trusting God. So you just step out and you trust God. Praise the Lord. And you hope that it's a home run. I don't know how the service is going to go when I get to church. Maybe that's my lack of spirituality. I don't know. But I don't know. I intend that it's going to go good. I do my part the best that I know how. But what I'm saying is that it's never based on what I do or don't do in the sense of I don't make it, praise the Lord. I can't make it happen good. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that God doesn't meet us. Obviously, it's if it doesn't work out, it's the flesh. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5:25 says in the Amplified, if we live by the Holy Spirit, this is so important, let us also walk by the Spirit. And then it puts this in parentheses so we understand it. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, so we know that by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Walking in line. Let us go forward doing that. How do we do that? With every step that we take it in faith. When we go here, when we do this, when we seek God and we want the answers, we're not looking for the big booming voice. We're looking for the inward witness, the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's Romans 8:14. Why don't we go ahead and turn there? This is where we're going to close. Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Who are led? The ones who go in faith. The Holy Spirit's leading all Christians. You understand it? He's speaking to all Christians. But as many as are led by him, as many as allow him, that's what you could say, as many that allow him to lead them, these are the true children of God. The children of God are not just people that sit in pews or seats and take up our good air and stuff like that. No, it's the people who allow God to lead them, to do, to move, to grow in the things of God. Amen. People are waiting for things to happen that God's already doing on the inside of them. I said, God's already doing it. He's not waiting for us. Or he is waiting for us. We're not waiting for him. So often we think that it's God that we're waiting on, when really it's just him waiting on us. We need to move. Sometimes we need to move forward. We know to do right. The Bible says to him who knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. And so if you know to do right and you don't do it, then it's sin. You're not walking in faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith in knowing that as the Lord leads me, that when I have a knowing to do something, I'm going to do it, and it's going to be beneficial, the other side of it will be good. That is what true faith is. That no matter what comes before me, the other side is there, it's waiting for me. Amen? And that's how we need to live as Christians, and we need to teach others to do as well.